Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Before we go into the message today, today's message, I might be asking you some questions as I go along with this message. But before then, I'd like to call Sister Ian. She's having a special number. The question I'm going to ask you is that if God called you today, will you be ready to go? Will you be ready to serve him? Will you be ready to say, God, send me? So let's listen to this special number and see if you'll be able to say, God, send me.
Loving one another, even when we don't agree. Here I am, Lord, send me. If the truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway. 'Cause here I am, Lord, send me. If it means that they reject me, Lord, I will still obey. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, Lord, my answer will
is, will you be able to say, here I am, Lord, send me? God is calling each and every one of you. God is speaking into your heart. Are you ready to say, God, here I am, send me? Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to appreciate you, Lord, for counting us among the living to worship you today. Father, we pray that you will open our heart and mind to this message this afternoon. Help us to trust in your plan, Lord. Take away every complaint and excuses in our heart. Help us to obey your command And help us to say, here I am, send me, Lord. We ask in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, brethren. Before I go into the message itself, our story today is one that is somehow special. It says about God, how God met Moses. And Moses was ready to go for that assignment that God has given unto him. It is not just a meeting between God and Moses. It is a call. And we are going to talk about what transpired when that call came, when God called him. And that is all we are going to be discussing today. Maybe God has been talking to you. That is a call. And what have been your response? Have you been giving excuses? Have you been trying to distract the call that God has been putting in your mind? Some of you might know the story of Moses and God, how the bush burning and everything. I would like to encourage you with one thing this afternoon. Pretend as if you don't even know this story. Just pretend and focus on God. God is going to talk to you. So when God invites you for assignment, honor it. When God sent, go. When God is at work, you have seen him that is at work somewhere. Join him in doing the work. When God called, say yes. Don't give excuse. Now, why do people give excuses? It's just to relieve them of their obligation. People give excuses to relieve them of their obligation. The call you know, but what about the excuse? Excuses. The call itself. When they say call, when God calls somebody, you know what it means. But my excuse or my excuses may not be the same, but the call might be the same, maybe in different form. But call is call, but excuses are not the same. So what do you mean by excuse or excuses? Where does this come from? I wrote here, excuses is the reason I should not be held responsible. That is the reason why I should not be held responsible. It's an excuse. It is a mean to say it is someone's fault. You want to shift the blame. It is a mean of being relieved of my obligation, as I said earlier on. It is the reason I should not be expected to serve, to give, or to participate. Can we conclude that excuses are really symptoms? A lot of us, we are asking for God, bless me, God bless me, God do this, do that. And when God do that, that becomes the excuses why you cannot serve him. What God has been telling you. Praise the Lord. So what are the causes behind excuses? What are the causes? Yes? Anyone? Fear. We are afraid. Many of us cannot stand here because all the ISIS are looking at us. Right? That's part of the excuses. You have somebody to sing. Oh, they'll be looking at me. And God has given you that voice. You are thinking they are looking at you. No one is looking at you. They are looking at God. Fear. When we are afraid of confrontation, we begin to make excuses as to why we delay, why we procrastinate. We begin to make excuses, and fear will grip on us. And that fear will make that gift that God has given to you to evaporate. It shall never be our portion in Jesus' name. At times, it is wrong priorities. You prioritize what's supposed not to be. There's a football match and there's a service. There's a cricket. There's a worship service. Your team is playing. You want to know how many runs, right? Runs. Or is it wickets? I can't remember now. You want to know the 6 points. You give this excuse. You are not able to be in the presence of God. That is wrong priority. Who knows? That day might be your target date. God is good. All the time. Amen. Laziness might be the reason why we give excuses. Down deep, we really don't want to get involved. At times, we don't want to get involved. Who am I to be taking offering bag all around? I prefer to sit down, have my permanent seat at the edge. You don't want to join the ministry. Laziness might be. So we begin to explain, we begin to defend, we begin to give excuses. We begin to avoid what we ought to have done. Now, let's talk about some common excuses. What are some common excuses you hear in the church culture? Yes? Someone is not coming for Victory Night. What is the excuses, anyone? I don't like chorus answer. One person? What? Work. Work, 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 work. Believe me, if anything happened to you, that office will move on. It will move on. Work. The beginning is not the issue. You may not be here at the beginning, but ensure that you are there. Thursday intercessory meeting, we keep announcing. If you close early, you start by 5:30, end by 7. Okay, if you close 6 o'clock, you can still meet them. The blessing is even at the end. The blessings are at the end. But work, what other excuses we give? What? Tiredness, yes. In Nigeria, we say body no be wood, that our body is not machine. Yes, agree, we can be tired. But at times, we use that as an excuse not to be in the presence of God. Okay, let's move on. What about no time? Sometimes we don't have time. We want to go to the hall. We have time for that. At times we give excuses because we say we can't afford it. You're living very far. Okay, transport money. Yes. Maybe you have something, but you look at it. If I go to church, this will happen. That you give excuse. Too tired, as brother has said. And again, you call somebody to say, okay, tomorrow or by next Friday, you are going to be leading praise and worship. You'll be thinking, what am I going to sing? Or maybe you are going to give, let's use night vigil as an example. You'll be leading prayer. You'll be leading a small message. You see people saying that, I'm talking from experience now. What am I going to say? Would they even listen? They will listen to you. My experience with some of my ushering team, apology my ushering team, at the beginning, when you say you will lead prayer next Monday, oh, brother, I don't know. You don't know? That you don't know, make it the topic of your prayer. Believe me, everybody is doing wonderfully now. You start from somewhere. Don't give excuse. Praise the Lord. Don't think about what they'll be thinking. Don't think I'm not able. I'm not capable. Or you are thinking, okay, Pastor Abraham will do it. It's his job to preach on Friday. If the call has come to you that, yes, they have looked at you, they have assessed you, it is time for you to join the council. You are now saying, oh, who am I to start there in the front of the entire congregation? What am I going to be doing? What am I going to be saying? No, it is duty of Pastor Abraham. He must do it. That is excuses. Someone else will do it. Or at times, you call somebody, you are leading prayer. No, I did my own last time. God is calling you. Stop these excuses. When he called, answer. When he said go, agree, send me. Amen? Do you know that excuses are not new? In the scripture, it's there. It's not new. Turn with me to Judge chapter 4, verse 8. Let's look at what happened there.
Judges 4, verse 8. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go.
What is the excuse there? What? We are listening to the scripture. If you will not go with me, I will not go. Let's clap for our sisters. Let's clap for sisters. Barak is a female. Huh? A male. Look at it, say, and Barak said to her. Now we see a situation where my brother is afraid. Right? He was afraid. And what is the excuse? If you are not going with me, I will not go. Okay, let's see another example. Judges 6, 15.
Judges 6, verse 15. So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.
That is Gideon there. He had an excuse. He simply said, I'm nobody. He simply said, I'm nobody. He's giving that excuse. How many of us are thinking that inferiority complex, we place ourselves where are you supposed not to place yourself? When God is with you, how many battalions? It's uncountable battalion. With you, with God with you, all things are what? Are possible. So when God is with you, don't give excuse. When God calls, say, God, here I am. Send me. Gideon had that excuse and said, he is nobody. What about Jeremiah? This is a popular scripture. James 1:6.
Jeremiah 1 verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth.
He is trying to say that he's just a kid. There's no barrier. There's no age limit. God is using 5 years old child. So, who are you to say that God cannot use you, that you are just a kid? At times a kid, you might think that you don't know the scripture. You categorize yourself as a kid at that level. Believe me, it's an excuse. If God sends you, he will go with you, will be with you. Amen? Now let's look at another example in the scripture. Luke 14, verse 16 to 20, quickly.
Luke 14, 16 to 20. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.
I think I like the last part. He wants to enjoy his honeymoon. And he said, yes, I just married. I'm not going. I want you to be linking those excuses you have given. Why you are not able to attend weekly program of TBLF or in your home churches. Friday we see many. Weekly we don't see. We agree, yes, we are working. Yes, we are working. Weekend, Saturday, many are working. But are you linking it like this example we have seen here? The one said, I bought a piece of ground. Yes, he doesn't want to go on hunger, so he need to go and till the land and make sure that he can grow something there. And those excuses, if you don't get anything from this short story that you have just heard, you can at least learn that God doesn't like excuses. If you read that story, that's not where I'm going. But try to read it and see what happened. The issue is that if you are not ready to serve, we will never be replaced with stone in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, let's go to the message proper. The call and the excuse. That is today's message. What am I saying is that when God calls, simply say yes. Don't give excuse. Now let's quickly read the story of Moses. Exodus 3 verse 1 to 16. Listen very carefully.
Exodus 3 verses 1 to 16. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why? The bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now. Therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and have seen what is done to you in Egypt.
Thank you, brother. And now let's quickly look at the issue related to how Moses, the meeting of Moses and God. So, working with God means you should be able to communicate with him. If you are ready to go on an assignment, you should be able to communicate with him. Now, when you look at verse 1, Moses was a shepherd. I don't want to go into that. We know where. Then, in verse 2, he said, The messenger of God appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of bush. So, God has a different way of calling people. That's what I want to establish here. He has a different way of talking to people. He has something to draw your attention. Something around you. Something around me prompts this message that I'm giving today in my office. You are sensing someone to somewhere. He keep giving excuses, and they continue providing solution for those excuses. Then it occurred to me that, oh, he's behaving like Moses. And that was the generation of this message today. So, you see, the way God has come to Moses, are you also taking note of things around you, whether God is talking to you? Now, like I said, different way of calling people. To some, it might be through dream or vision, whatever means that God is talking to you. Take note of it. Let's look at the identity of the one in the flame. The flame that God has appeared. He said, the angel of God. The one thing we should note is that the messenger inside the flame is what? The angel of God. That's what verse 2 says. And the messenger of God appeared to Moses in a flame of fire. Now, read verse 4 for me, brother.
So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am.
Now, you read verse 2, you come back to verse 4. The person that appeared is messenger of God. But God called. Is there any confusion? God is not an author of confusion at all. We know that God is three in one. The Holy Trinity. So, when you pause and look at those two verses, he who called to Moses from the midst of the bush in verse 4 is God. And appear in verse 2 is the angel of God. So, there are some signs there that God is present everywhere. Wherever his messenger is going, God is also there. So if God is sending you an assignment, he is not leaving you. In verse 2, God himself did not show up. The angel show up. And the God speak. What this means is that when God sends you, whatever is coming out from your mouth, they will be seeing the presence of God in your life. Don't give excuse. He will lead you, he will guide you. That's what happened there. The angel called and God spoke. Now, let's read what a couple said in Judges 13, 21 to 22.
Judges 13, verses 21 to 22. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God."
Now, who have they seen? They have seen the couples. But see what they said. They have seen God. When God sends you, you are a messenger of God. When he sends you, they will be seeing God in you. In fact, when the glory of God is radiating over you, is shining over you, they will not see you as just ordinary messenger of God. That is beauty of following God's assignment. Those couple, they have seen angel, but they said they will surely die because they have seen God. Okay? God can appear to you in any form. He can appear to you in any form. As a messenger, when you are going, he's going with you. So, now, let's go back to Moses. So, the messenger and God called to Moses. Let's put it that way, from the bush. And Moses said what? Here I am. He has not said, send me. Don't jump to it. He has never said. He started building up his defense because he was not ready. So, that God is looking for a leader to lead the children of Israel. I don't want to go into the story we know, but pretend as if you don't know because I'm taking something different out. So, Moses expresses his openness. Here I am, God. Here I am. He said, here I am. He answered. So, Moses has a list of excuses for why he wasn't the right person for that job. And God was not impressed at all. If you come from the left, God will come from the right. If you come from the back, God will come from the front. As he was giving those excuses, God was countering it. This is how God works. At times, God can use our circumstances to counter our excuses. Amen? So, Moses' excuses may not sound too far from the same kind of excuses that we are giving when God calls us. God has continued to call us to his service. He's calling you to join ministry. He is calling you to join ministry. The assignment may not be to go and bring children of Israel from the slavery. It may be to bring the lost soul in your office, in your neighborhood, within your family. That might be the assignment that God is giving unto you. Stop giving excuses that he will not listen to me. Your behavior, your character may not allow that to happen. But when God calls you, irrespective of how deep you are in a sin, he goes with you, they will see that presence of God in your life. Amen? So, like I said, it might be somebody in your office that God wants to send you to. But somewhere, someone is waiting for you to answer God's call, to step forward and speak to him or her. So when God first told Moses that he had an assignment for him, that is, an assignment for him to do, what is the first excuse that Moses gave? Verse 11. Brother?
But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?"
Who am I? This is very common to today. Who am I to be standing in front of the entire congregation and be leading prayer? Who am I? I don't know. You condemn yourself. If anybody approach you, brother, sister, I want you to be part of this. I want you to be part of that. Don't think, who are you? God has sent that person to you. A journey of 1,000 kilometers starts with just a full step. Where God is taking you to, you need to take a step. So Moses said, "Who am I?" And that is actually the question many of us are asking when called for assignment, like I said. Who am I, Lord, that you asked me to do this? So when it comes to the call of God, the answer to that question, who am I, is basically, you are simply saying you are nobody. You need not to say that. You are not Gideon. God will equip you. He will give you the scriptural verses to support you, to push you to go for that assignment. Now, let's read verse 12, brother.
So he said, "I will certainly be with you."
This is God now talking. He'll certainly be with him. He has said, "Who am I?" And God said what?
I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt.
Now, God is even giving him signs. This is the sign that God, that you will know that God is with you. Many things happened to my life in the past, between June and today, that I believe that, yes, God is with me. Be careful. God is with me. What about you? God is with you. It's only you have to recognize that. You have to see that. Because every day my testimony keep increasing. When I'm thinking, why is this happening? Then testimony will come. I was sharing with pastor before the start of the congregation. Something happened yesterday. But before we come for this service, I got a phone call. This is that. That is this morning. I begin to smile. I was telling my wife, now you can smile. That's exactly what I said. So, when you are ready to serve him, when you are ready to do his will, believe me, the excuses can come in form of challenge. God himself will answer you. Amen? Amen? So, God is saying, you are somebody. You are not nobody. You are somebody. When I'm with you, you are not alone. Stop giving excuses when the call comes. Brother and sister, don't downgrade yourself. See that you are on top of the world, because you are all children of God. Amen? One with God is with majority. But you need to remain in him. Because of our time, John 15, 4 to 5. Remain in him, and he will remain in you. You need to remain in him. Then you will know that you are serving a living God. So when Moses asked, Who am I? God replied that he will be with him. And that's what Moses needs. By this time, Moses should jump up and say, yes, God is with me. He has seen the sign, fire and the bushes. Bushes is not burning, it's a sign. So, who am I? It's not an issue. The issue is really, is God with you? Are you ready to allow him to be with you? So, when God calls you for assignment, stop saying you are nobody, you are somebody. See that he who dwells in you is bigger than the entire world. And God will simplify everything in Jesus' name. Let's look at excuse number 2, verse 13.
Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?
Now, the second excuse here is what? Who are you? He simply says, who are you? And does God ask answer to that? So without wasting time at all, God revealed who he is by revealing his personal name to Moses. I am that I am. God is existing one, the one who is, who he always was, and who will always be. God provided answer immediately. So, and when God was providing this, he brought him to memory lane. You can read that on your own because of our time. Like I said, I'm not going to the story. God provided him. He told him about many things. So, if someone asks you, who is God? In my new office, I think there's a big something ceremony tomorrow for Kerala people, they know. They were taking lists around. And they asked me, we are organizing something big on Saturday. There's a big something coming up. We are inviting all the family. Are you coming? I ask question. What are you doing there? What is this? They told me. Okay, tell me more about it. Believe me, brethren, I didn't condemn whatever they are saying. It's an opportunity for me. I said, can you come to church today? They are doing Onam, right? Onam on... Am I pronouncing it well? So, they were inviting entire company that it's a big day on Saturday. So they want to register. And I asked him, will you come to church on Friday? If you come, I will come. Then he said, no, I'm too busy one way or the other. So when God sends you, I pass a message across there. He knows that I'm a churchman. He knows that I'm a Christian. That opportunity will come to you. Don't say, get out of my office. Don't you know I'm a Christian? Even when you go back to him, he will never listen to you. Praise the Lord. So, you are somebody. Don't think you are nobody. Don't think they will not listen to you. These two brothers that came to me, they listened to me quietly. When I said, will you come to church? I sat them down. I said, sit down, let's talk. So, you are somebody. Don't think you are nobody. Your concerns are not new. You can read the rest of the story there with Moses. So, excuse number 3. Let's jump to chapter 4, verse 1.
Exodus 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you.
The excuse here is that, what if they don't believe? What if they don't listen? You have not even gone there. You are already assuming. You are making an assumption. Don't think that your colleagues in the office will not listen to you. You don't go by force and say, you must be born again. He asked you many questions that may throw you off your feet. First, welcome him. Like the example I'm giving. I asked them, please tell me more about this. I know before. I know about it. It's not new to me, but I pretend. And that gave me the opportunity to talk to them. And they listen to me. If I suddenly go to the office and say, oh, this, they may not listen. So, let's see. What is the answer to that? So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. At this point in time, God is trying to prove to him. That is the response of God to him. There's a little bit dramatic thing within that side. If you read that story further, the rod, we know it turned to what? We don't know. Snake. If you don't know the story, tell me. Or is it because I asked you to pretend you don't know? Praise the Lord. Okay, don't pretend. So, God asked him what is in your hand, because God is preparing for a miracle. The same thing, God may not ask you what is in your hand. God may build in you some type of story that you will build, that will draw the attention of people to you, and they will listen patiently because they want to see the end of the script you are writing. You are telling them. It might be. Don't expect that God will say, what is in that your hand? His pen. It might not be. Amen? So when God calls you for an assignment, believe me, he will equip you with what you are going to use. He equipped Moses. He asked him, the rod in your hand. He also said, put your hand by your side. We know, I'm not going to this story. Three miracles. Say, take some water. You know where it ends. The river Nile turned to, okay, like that. So these were enough signs. God gave him sign that, yes, I'm with you. They will believe. So what is God's sign that God is giving you when he calls you? Are you ready to say, here I am, send me? Or you still want to go by excuse? You may not be able to change stick into snake or make yourself hand leprosy hand or turn water to blood. But you can share your personal testimony. You share your personal testimony. That is the rod. That is the rod. The way God has done in my life from June to this time. That song that says, I can see everything turning around, see everything turning around. That is exactly everything begin to turn round because God is with me. During the challenges I face, I never look back. I let the past be the past. I focus. No excuse. Because of that, you are thinking, okay, oh, why should I be at the program this? Create time for yourself. When God calls, don't give excuse. Serve. He will deliver you. Amen? So when you share your personal experience about Jesus, it's like a rod. It's like turning things. Okay, they may be doubting that, how possible is that? But with excitement on how you are saying it, you say, brother, taste and see what? That the Lord is good. Amen. Even then, a lot of people may still not be willing to listen to you or may not believe you. But God says to go do it, I'm with you. God is with you. You know, in the story, God told Moses that, God told Pharaoh that, believe me, I'm going back to chapter 3 now, verse 19, that Pharaoh will not listen. God has hardened his mind. Let's read it, brother.
Exodus 3, verse 19. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. In other words, Pharaoh won't listen, but you go and tell him anyway.
They may not listen, but God is telling you, go. God is telling you, go. So when we critically examine this excuse number three, ask yourself whether this is one of the things that is keeping you away from talking about God to people, from talking about Jesus Christ to people. Is this one of the things that is keeping you away? Some of us, we feel shy in the presence of people. But believe me, it's only just one day. When they look at you the way you all people are looking at me, after some time, nobody will. In fact, nobody is even thinking about that. Nobody is thinking how you smile, how you frown your eyes. The word you are speaking is what they are listening to. If you are looking at my face alone, praise the Lord. You see? Nobody. But you are listening to what message God has for you. Nobody should sleep. I mention your name. So, brethren, we feel shy in front of people. Okay, if you feel shy in front of 100 people, start with wife, with your wife. Are you feeling shy in the presence of your wife? Begin to talk to your wife about God. Begin to talk to your husband about God. Come. Let me talk about it to you. The first question, when did you become pastor? But you need to start. Tomorrow if you call him, let me talk or her, let me talk to you about God. He will not ask you that question again, right? Start from somewhere. Don't feel shy. You lead prayer, start from the, for excellent men. I like the core group. They use many brothers to prepare them. We build them. And in the women ministry also, they call them for prayer. They have their fervent Anna prayer. They build people. That will help them to stay here and sing, and people will listen to them. Amen? So, brethren, what am I saying is that don't feel shy. You might be thinking you cannot speak. God will himself will speak to you. You have somebody to pray, thinking I don't know how to pray. Simply say in Jesus' name, all our heart desire, God fulfill it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Has he not prayed? Yes, pray. You start from somewhere. Don't feel shy. Okay, maybe it is not what you do for a living. Yes, you are not a pastor. You are not a full-time pastor. But what I'm trying to say is that many of us, we are afraid of crowd. This is one of the problems that make people not to serve. We are afraid that people will be looking at you. No one is looking at you. Pastor Dennis is looking at me. If he open his eyes, I will open my own. Right? Eyes to eyes. Ball, eyeball to eyeball. Look. When you look at that person, you begin to look, then it will take time to move aside. That shyness will be taken away. God is with you. Excuse number four, verse 10. Four, that is Exodus 4.
Exodus 4, verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.
If you are giving that excuse, wave your hand to the Lord. I know many of us, we think that, yes, I don't speak well. I don't speak well. You are afraid. In those days in our church in Nigeria, I used to encourage people, don't pray in English. Pray in your local dialect. Pray in your own language. No one is going to arrest you. Even here in Bread of Life, if they cut prayer point, if you know that you are not eloquent in English, turn it to your language. If I'm by your side, I'll say, oh, this sister is speaking in tongue. But you are actually praying to God. Hallelujah. So don't think you don't speak well. Whatever you are speaking, God has placed that in your heart. So when you hear the call, don't give excuse. Say, God send me. So Moses said these very things. He didn't speak well. In more general terms, Moses was saying he wasn't equipped to do what God was asking him to do. But it was another excuse that he's giving. Trust God, he's ready. He's coming from this direction. He's blowing it in this direction. God is puncturing it in this side of it. God give us ability that we are using. So, God is the one who is in charge of this thing. Whatever God has given unto you, that talent that God has given to you, God is the one that has given it unto you. You may not be able to stand here and begin to speak the way I'm talking. Yes, you may not. But what about praying for somebody? In that room, before the service, you begin to pray, you begin to decree, today's service, let it be to your honor, let it be to your name. Prove yourself. You are already participating. Ushering is not about taking the bag and collect offering or trying to move around and tell people to keep quiet. In our meeting this morning, one sister was saying, when she was appreciating usher, I said, even your smile. We smile in ushering ministry. We smile. If you know how to smile, come to ushering team. So God has given you that talent. Don't cover it. He is saying, I don't know. He's saying, I don't speak well. Don't allow that to be your excuse. God has given you the talent. You see, the recent study we have, the home cell study, Ephesians 4. When you read, I think verse 7 and 11 now. When you read those ones, you will understand. To everyone, gift has been given. For those of you in home cell, you might have come across this. If not, you will go to it. Different gift. Your gift is not my gift. My gift is not your gift. So whatever gift God has given to you, use it. Don't say you cannot speak. Okay, you cannot sing, but you can do something else. See where God is at work. See what God is ministering to your mind. In fact, how I wish the entire congregation is choir. We don't need mic, right? Do we need mic? We don't need mic. We don't need them to be here. We only have one single person here. He sing, everybody sing, because all of us are here on Tuesday for practice. Hallelujah. It can be. We see congregation that the choirs, they are large. If God ministered to you, that are supposed to belong to this ministry in the church. Don't give excuse. Don't think Brother Tony, not Brother Matthew again. Brother Tony, don't think that Brother Tony will not welcome you. He will, with open arms, he will welcome you. Amen? So, your talent is there. Your word are valuable to the degree that God himself has put the word in your mouth. Some people can speak without full stop. Don't compare yourself with anyone. Whatever capacity that you have, don't go beyond that capacity. So, last excuse. Verse 13.
Exodus 4:13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else.
What is the excuse there? Someone else can do it. Don't send me. I don't want to do it. He should have said that from the beginning. God, I don't want to do it. Why wasting the time of God? He said that, I don't want to do it. After going around, God has given him sign. God has done so many things. Now he said, pardon me. Lord, please send someone else. One by one, God has punctured all the excuses. Until this final one. So, brethren, are you thinking that God should send somebody? Are you thinking that God should replace you? That should not be. God should not replace you. Moses' real problem is simple. He just didn't want to do it. It wasn't about his personal hood at all. It wasn't about if they asked to know about God's name. It wasn't about whether they would believe him or listen to him at all. It's because he didn't want to do it. It's not that they will not listen to him as he has said. It's a sense of oneness. So, brother, it was about how well he could speak. Either Moses was afraid, or his priorities were mixed up, or he didn't care. So, before it sounds like we should be hard on Moses, let me remind you that he was given a tough job to do. The job we are giving you now, we are not asking you to go and bring people from slavery. It's the simple one, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the assignment we are giving unto you. You can even sit behind your handset at home and give short message. Send it by WhatsApp. Many people are doing it. By that time, you are not facing the crowd. If you have that talent, you start from there. So, I like God's answer to Moses. He doesn't say, okay, I will just send someone. He doesn't say, no, you go do it. You go and do what I told you to do alone. He said, I'm going to send you someone to go with you to do this. And whom did God send? His brother. God has sent his brother. So God will not leave you alone. He will send somebody to help you. He will send somebody to assist you. In conclusion, so what are the excuses that you have been given for the thought that God has placed in your mind? Here are what will help us to put away our excuses. Having our fears set aside, all the fear, put it aside. Prioritize your schedule. Genuinely loving and caring for people. When you love people, you will not want them to get perish. So as you look around you, what need you think, or what is that assignment that God is ministering to your mind? What is that thing that God is putting before you? Brethren, if it is an excuse, what is underneath the excuse? What is the real reason that God called you? And you are, I want to tell you that you are not alone. Say yes, Lord, send me. So, brethren, when God calls, don't allow lack of adequacy, lack of knowledge, lack of faith, lack of ability, lack of desire or courage to stop you. So when God calls you, brethren, stop making excuses. He will go before you and be with you. Isaiah 43 verse 2, quickly. When you pass through water, I will be with you. And through the river, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. When you are ready to go for that assignment, he will strengthen you and protect you. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. Hold on to this, and I will close with this. He says, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil ones as you obey his call in your life. And may God bless his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful message. I'm here to close it, and it spoke to me very well. Isaiah 6:8 says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying. I believe you have heard the voice of the Lord saying. Am I correct? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? My prayer is that you're replying is in the next sentence. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. That is the summary of the message today. Thank you so much, Pastor, for giving us that word. In season, because that's what we need currently. If you're here with me, just rise up as we close the service. Wherever you are, just say, Lord. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer. They say, Lord, here I am, send me. I'll just give you 1 minute. I don't know what it is. In your office place, in your home space, in your family space. Ask the Lord to send you. Say, Lord, I'm available for you. Use me to achieve your purpose on this earth. And as you use me, Father Lord, your name will be glorified. Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you, Father Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let's also lift up Pastor Francis, that wherever the Lord he has taken from, that the Lord will bless him. The Lord will replenish it. Replenish him, that the Lord will continue to strengthen him. Pray for him also as he travels this week for his daughter's wedding, him and sister Shade, that the Lord will go ahead of him. The Lord will take him safely. That the Lord will bring him back at the appropriate time safely. Let's also pray for that marriage as it's being planned, preparations are going on, that the Lord will be glorified on that day. Let's pray that it shall be a success. We will not be there, but we're there in spirit. And we're able to pray for them. Let's pray that the Lord will go ahead of them, that the Lord will grant them favor. Even as the marriage is conducted, that the foundation shall be Christ and Christ alone. Take the glory, Father Lord. Take the adoration. Thank you, Father Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father Lord, I pray for Pastor and his wife, and even the rest of the family as they travel. Father Lord, all that we ask, Lord, that your presence goes with them, Father Lord. That your presence abides with them, Father Lord. That when it's time for them to come back, Father Lord, they'll come back with testimonies, Father Lord. He has already been given so many testimonies of how you have been good to him. Father Lord, I pray that more testimonies shall abound for him in his life in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for the congregation even as we depart. We pray that your presence goes with us, Father Lord. As your presence goes with us, Father, what we need in this life, Father Lord, that you'll provide for us. Those that need to be open, Father Lord, let them be open, Father Lord. Jobs that need to be given, Father Lord, this week, let them be given in the mighty name of Jesus. Visas that need to be granted, Father Lord, let them be granted, Father Lord. Thank you, Father Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Before we share the grace, a couple of announcements. We have the newcomers meet in Bethel. So please follow Brother Ken. If you don't know where Bethel is, but you know Brother Ken. Brother Ken, are you here? He's up here on my right. Please just follow him. The newcomers have joined the church since March, if I'm not mistaken, up to nine. We have a welcome reception for you at Bethel, so you can follow Brother Ken. The second announcement, which is kind of a little bit vital. We exit which door? Which way? Which way do we exit? Thank you so much. As we exit, please, let's leave the veranda and fellowship under the canopy. The reason why we have another church that's coming in and they're not getting access into the church and they have raised a complaint about it. So please, as soon as you come out, let no one just fellowship in the veranda. Let's go on under the shade and let's give them access to be able to come in for the service. I think we're in the household of God and at least we can follow instructions. Praise the Lord. God will bless you as you comply. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.